Welcome to Monkeys in Tuxedos, the only podcast nominated for a Pulitzer Prize. I am your host, Seth Carstensen. With me, as always, is Zahilia Z. Austin. And, of course, Ryan Mukowblix.
Tell us how this works, Seth.
So, the way this all works is you, the listeners, give us, the podcasters extraordinaire, a topic using the hashtag Tuxedo Topics on Facebook and Twitter. We pick from that big old pile of listener goodness, and then we just sort of have a conversation about it and see where that takes us.
We just go shopping and pick what ingredients we think we want to use.
That's right. So,
what's going to make the best recipe for an episode this week?
I feel like you're hinting at our topic already.
Oh,
Picking it up a little bit.
Again, I would have thought the title would have done all the hinting needed.
Well, that's fair.
What are we talking about this week, Seth?
Well, maybe somebody's just binging the podcast and they're not looking at the phone when the new episode comes up.
Oh,
you're probably working too hard on those podcast like descriptions that you're putting out every week.
By just titling the episode what the topic is.
Yeah, probably you're putting too much thought into it.
I feel like it'd be harder work to come up with something else. Do I just stick with generic numbers? Like this one will just
right,
be
yeah, just MIT
episode
4.
Yeah.
Just that, but that's every episode, though. MIT 4. Everyone.
Which one is this? I don't know. This is impossible. That's great. So, we can't do that. So, we are going to title this episode
Cooking Shows.
Reality Cooking Shows.
Yay.
Cooking Shows.
I love cooking shows.
Yeah, what's your favorite one?
Whatever Gordon Ramsay's in.
That's a good answer. I can't hate that. Did you watch any of have you watched any of the MasterChef Junior from this year that's new? That's out?
No, I didn't know that they started a new season already.
Oh yeah, they're like, I don't know, I stopped watching after my favorite kid got eliminated.
Oh, I'll have to start watching that. See, Hulu's been fucking with me. Sometimes it shows up, my shows show up, and sometimes they don't. So,
yeah. Hulu needs to get shit together.
But, I love MasterChef Junior. I love all of his shows, dude. I just want to... It's a more lighthearted Gordon Ramsay, which is nice to see. He's actually helpful
like,
and nice
like
to
that.
People. Oh, my God.
I do like that. I like, I was talking with Bill the other day, you see, about MasterChef Junior. And he's like, you know what? He's like, I love watching that show. And like, and this is a true story about what happened. So I was watching that show, and there's like this 10-year-old who makes this like just amazing looking like steak and like, you know, vegetable side and just everything just looks great and perfect and perfect. And then my 17-year-old son comes out of the kitchen and is like, Dad, how do I use the microwave?
God. I'm sure that was last season, too. I know who he's talking about. That kid was good.
Yeah, just,
I think it was
the
kid
know.
From Texas, a bigger kid.
Oh, yeah, I remember that kid. That kid was awesome.
Yeah, he was.
That kid was great. I don't remember what his name was, but he was all about playing football and cooking steaks.
Yep. Yep. My type of kid there.
Just this fat little Texan with a mohawk. It was great.
Yep, he was good.
You just know he's going to grow up to be a piece of shit, though. Damn, Texas is going to ruin just about everybody.
But
I can't say that. I've got some good friends from Texas.
Yeah, but you can still say it.
Yeah,
you can.
That's true. Fuck you guys.
Oh, I forget what I was going to say. Oh, I was going to, like, the, why, like, it's, chefs always seem to be assholes. Like, there's just that culture of being an asshole, because it's, like, so fucking, they get so fucking stressed out. And have you guys ever seen that video that cost Gordon Ramsay a Michelin star?
No.
It's fucked up. Like, he's, you know, like, he's mean on the show, but he's, like, slapping his line cooks and shit in the head, and just, he, like, won't leave him alone. He's just berating this guy. And he's, like, a, you know, 20-year-old kid.
Right.
But, you know, they got the inside information that the guy from Michelin is there, and, you know, that footage got out before, like, they had, like, hidden cameras or something, and that footage got out before the Michelin
report came out. Okay.
And they were going to give it to him, and they took it away because of that video.
Wow.
Really?
But it's also kind of what made him famous, and, like, kind of kicked this career off.
Well, and he's got, like, Michelin stars before or since then, right?
Yeah,
he's got a bunch of them, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he knows what the fuck he's doing for sure. Yeah. So.
I have 4 Michelin tires.
I have 2 right now.
I don't think I have any.
I don't think that counts, though.
No.
But I was surprised to learn it is literally the same Michelin.
Oh, is it for real?
Yeah, because they were like putting out, like, a travel guide.
Oh, makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense.
So they wanted to, like, do all these restaurant reviews, and it just blew up into this super important thing.
Like, on the level of, like, a James Beard Award or something like that.
You know, I wonder if you can just, anybody can just submit to be nominated for a Michelin star.
I'm going to find out.
Oh, boy, here we go.
We could make our pie, send it in.
No, please, God, Pulitzer.
No. How do you spell Michelin? Michelin star. Google will fix it. Oh, God, I got it right. Sweet. All right. Okay.
It's what probably happens is that you just have to open a restaurant, and the guy comes in, or woman, or whoever comes in, and, you know, eats there, and then does the review, and it's all done secretly. You don't know it's the person from Michelin. So, speaking of long cons, maybe what
first
we have
of all,
to
okay. Mm-hmm? So this is how we have to. So this is how you have to get a Michelin star. First of all, the location of your restaurant has to be in an area covered by Michelin. So, for instance, we can't open a restaurant in Cleveland because Wallace got a really good restaurant scene. It isn't on the Michelin map.
That's
second,
the greatest thing I've ever heard.
So then secondly, the restaurant has to get major press to be noticed by Michelin. Then at that point, the stars, just have to rely on, because a Michelin reviewer needs to see the press, anonymously visit the location, and love what they ate.
That's it.
And then you're rated on a 3-star system. 1 Michelin star means your restaurant is a very good restaurant in its category. To get 2 Michelin stars, you need to have exceptional cooking worth a detour. 3 is you required exceptional cuisine worth a special journey.
Oh.
Of which, only 14 restaurants in the United States have ever gotten 3 stars.
Oh, wow.
Super exclusive.
So we can't, it's not as easy as just mailing the Michelin company a pie. But I think we should do it anyways.
Or we open a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
we work really hard to get all the press and make great food, and we get like, you know, we get the insider information. We find out when the Michelin person is coming, and then we serve them this amazing meal. And then for dessert, we serve them the MIT lemon meringue pie.
Oh. And there goes the star.
And there goes the star, because it was never about the star. It was about the joke. And then we spring out like it's candid camera and be like, watch monkeys, listen to monkeys in tuxedos. Gotcha. Coming soon, our new MIT prank show.
Oh, God.
That would be pretty good. Are there any shows that you like to watch? I mean, let's try to keep it about.
Sure. About well, I was just thinking during that, like, I don't know. Have there been any just straight up reality shows about a high end restaurant like that? Like, they're always about, you know, finding the best. You know, it's always a competition, or it's about, you know, kitchen nightmares.
Turning around a real shithole into something, yeah, worthwhile.
And I think a reality show, you know, behind the scenes of a, you know, high stakes kitchen like that.
Yeah. Well, there's always like.
Which, by the way, it should be called High Stakes, but like steaks.
Yeah, I'm down with that. I'd be into that idea. That's good. Yeah, because like. I'm trying to think, because I was like, well, like, Man vs. Food was just about going around eating, you know, got the guy taking on, like, monster challenges and stuff like mm-hmm. that. I was at Gastoff's when he took on the Meterwurst, which was, oh, wow. Yeah, that was kind of that was a weird night. Like, because they had this TV crew, they were getting in everybody's way, of course, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the director was this super weirdo who was there, like, and maybe he was a producer, I don't know, but like he was going around like people who were like, you know, who were like sitting near, I think the guy on that show's name is Adam something,
mm-hmm.
Like who were like around the Adam, and he'd be like, you know, and if, especially like they'd ordered the same thing, and he would ask them questions like, when you saw Adam ordering the Meterwurst, how did that make you feel?
Oh no!
What was your thought about the Meterwurst?
And then just got a mouthful of wurst.
Yeah,
I don't know. I just thought he was doing it. I thought I could do it. You know?
Yeah, it seems like it was pretty good. You know? I'm like, yeah, that asshole could do it. Why can't I? Right.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's what you do. Like, oh, yes. It was just the weirdest man. Like,
yeah,
I don't know how else to describe. Like, how to describe it. I'm trying to remember some of the other stuff, because like I remember, like I heard like a whole interview with somebody he was talking to, which I watched the show later because of course I did,
mm-hmm.
And he did not, and like none of the things that I heard him talk to anybody about or that I saw him interview made it onto the show.
Well, they gotta get as much as they can, and then they cut and paste.
Yeah, and then trim. Yeah, yeah, you're right. But I think I'm in one of the crowd scenes, but I don't remember. It's been very long since I saw it. We were up there for a friend's birthday or for a going away party. That was pretty good.
Didn't that guy have to quit because he was like,
you getting super
dying? I thought he was like dying.
No, he wasn't dying.
Food.
I actually just watched a video on this. he
Man
was just
food guy dead.
That was a rumor that went around. No, he.
He got in trouble for combination being an internet asshole.
He just got tired of eating.
Yeah, he quit the show and lost 70 pounds.
Yeah.
That seems right. Apparently,
I think he wound up. He said. He said he wound up getting sleep apnea, and I think he's close to having diabetes. And he was like, "Yeah, I'm good."
Fuck. So, anyways, my favorite cooking shows, which is harsh segue there. My favorite cooking shows are the stuff like Kitchen Nightmares. I too like Gordon Ramsay a lot. Like Kitchen Nightmares and Hotel Hell.
Yeah.
Like Hotel Hell had the fucking craziest people on there.
Oh, 100%. Yes. These people are just weird. I remember
this
one
was like a bed and breakfast, and this guy, like, every night would put on a murder mystery, but he, like, wouldn't let the guests participate. It was just like a show he put on. And then he would just, and then it was all just like canned food and whatever. And he was just such a dick to Gordon Ramsay, you know, like the typical executive you'd expect on, like, people love my art. And like, this is, you don't understand fine art like this, like the acting and murder mystery and all the work that goes into it. And it was just perfect for Gordon Ramsay to just roll his eyes and just like eventually just blow his fucking lid. Just like, this is so ridiculous. Rubbish. Stop this shit.
You know the thing that about Hotel Hell that I like, you start seeing like all, like if you watch like all those shows like in a row, especially now like in our TV binge culture that we've got, like that you'll pick up on like these little like, you know, like, you know, certain tropes that seem to like be in like every single episode. Like in Hotel Hell, the one that's jumping into my mind right now is like, it seemed like every hotel that Gordon Ramsay went to, there was a closet in his room that he could not use because it had like bullshit of the owners like locked up in there. It's like, oh, that's where, you know, you can't go in there. That's where I keep all of Grandma's clothing. Where's Grandma? She's dead.
She's been dead 40 years.
She's been dead. She died in this room.
Like, I didn't see that episode.
Wait, and then he opens the closet and bones fall out.
Yeah, just literally Grandma's is in there. Yeah. No, but like, yeah, just like the craziest people. Like, I remember one episode of that show. They did, like, there was the lady who, like, had this little office and just slept in there, like, at the hotel.
Oh, yeah.
Gordon Ramsay, like, rented her a house for 3 months so she could, like, have a bed to sleep in.
Yeah, I remember that one, yeah. It was ridiculous. Like, come on, man. You know you got, she has money to fuck, get the fuck out of there. That's a little obsessed.
Yeah.
Micromanaging to a whole new level.
Like, I don't know, like I'm willing to 100% buy how hard like a hotel will go under,
like, oh yeah,
like, and they are such money sinks,
right? I mean, I imagine there's so much operating costs.
Oh, it's insane,
with or without people in it.
Yeah, yep, yeah, exactly. So it's especially with for hotels that like try to have like full kitchens, too. Mm.
Yep.
Mm. That's just, you're, now you're just adding a, now you're just grafting a restaurant onto your place where people.
So I suppose that's why almost every hotel has a restaurant almost right next door.
We don't want to deal with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much.
But it'd be a good spot for a restaurant, but.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So like, it's something that like they can benefit from, but not have to like own.
Yeah. So yeah, those are my favorite kinds. Oh, my favorite lady from Hotel Hell was the one who was doing two sets of Cher covers in the dining room every night.
Oh, that was terrible.
I don't remember that one. Fuck.
If I could turn back time.
Oh, gosh. During this dinner service, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
In the corner, while people were trying to eat, and she just sounds like just straight trash.
Yeah. Oh. And she, like, wanted to be, you know, she, like, went to Hollywood to try to make it as a famous singer, but she was clearly awful.
So she makes her guest list. Oh, God. I forgot about that.
People enjoy it. People come here just to hear me sing.
Gypsies, tramps, and slaves.
That's basically it.
Yeah.
So,
woo. Do you ever watch, in that vein, Blix, do you ever watch Restaurant Impossible?
Nope.
It's kind of, it's basically Kitchen Nightmares, with just a less charming British guy. But, like, what he lacks in charm, he makes up for in muscles.
Oh, that one.
Robert
with
Irvine.
The glasses.
It's one of the Robert Irvine shows.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
That show's weird.
It's not as good.
It's not. I'm watching all of the most recent season on Hulu right now. I mean, like, not right now, but, like, it's the thing I put on if I've only got, like, 50 minutes to watch TV.
Right.
I don't want to watch some other bullshit. And right now, this season's real weird because they're doing this thing where, or at least the season that's on Hulu right now, where they're doing this thing where, like, all of the places that they're going is, like, two different businesses. So it's like, it's a restaurant and a supermarket. Or, the one that I'm not done with yet today, but they're in New Orleans, and it is a restaurant and a barber shop.
No.
No. Oh, God.
Fried chicken while you're getting your hair cut? I don't know, man. That's weird.
It's I mean, they're not, like, in this... They're thankfully not in the same room, but...
Isn't that kind of the premise of Sweeney Todd?
Yeah, it's... Yeah, that's totally probably a Sweeney Todd thing going on.
But it's, you know, Midwestern and...
Well, no, it's New Orleans, so it's...
Oh, New Orleans.
Yeah,
okay.
So it's, you know... So those people you're eating, they got soul.
God.
Soul food. that was very bad.
So what about the other kinds of shows, like the competition shows?
I like those too. My favorite is probably Iron Chef America. Although the original Iron Chef was super sweet.
Iron Chef was good. Really, either one, America or the original. I like Iron Chef.
I like the original a little bit more because, like, I like that the chefs had, like, specialties. And, like, that's what you would, like, you know, you're like, I want to prove myself against Iron Chef France. And it'd be, like, this, like, the super technical,
like, sushi chef or something.
Yeah, this super technical French-trained chef, you know, classically French-trained chef where I want to go up against the Iron Chef Japan, and then Morimoto would just fucking beat the shit out of you with his cuisine, because...
He's a pimp. Yeah, he was in both shows. Yeah.
Yes, he was. Yes, he... Yeah. Yeah, he is. He's a... I don't like sushi. I think sushi is, like, the grossest food on the face of the planet. But if you put... You know, but if you're like, oh, but, you know, but Morimoto made this sushi... I'd be like, well, I'm gonna fucking try that.
Well, sushi is like, I feel like it's a broad category. You can get a lot of different flavors and textures with sushi.
Everything I've had is gross, so.
And that's fair. I am not somebody who would normally probably be inclined to like such exotic trappings as sushi, but I there's a few things that I really, really like. So,
yeah,
sushi,
like the real basic shit. Like Philly rolls and California rolls, I think are super good. But who are some of you guys' like favorite contestants on those shows that you can remember?
Contestants?
Oh God.
Oh man.
I don't know if I remember.
Like, do you remember? You don't remember like rooting for somebody super hard and.
Yeah, okay, well, okay, so MasterChef Junior, I was rooting for somebody really hard, and they got eliminated, and I haven't watched the show.
I don't ever remember them after the seasons are over. I guess I, it's more about the host, I guess. I mean,
yeah, same.
If I go and watch, like, the very first episode of a season, because I remember I'd watched it all, then I could go and say, oh, yeah, I rooted for them because blah, 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 but after the season's over, it's kind of lost in the dark.
The only reason I brought this, I remember this guy, and I didn't watch the full season. I just watched like this one episode. I don't know what happened to him afterwards. Like, it was Top Chef, I think. Is
okay.
Gordon Ramsay in Top Chef?
No.
So then it was
MasterChef.
MasterChef. So it was MasterChef. And this guy, so he was a ballet dancer, you know, super effeminate looking and like had like the blonde, you know, super like platinum blonde dyed hair cut to the side, down one side.
The but black dude? Was,
no.
Okay, he was, different season.
He was Asian.
Oh, I don't remember that one.
Oh, but that's not who I was thinking of. Okay.
He was from New Jersey, and he had a voice that was just like, I'm going to cook my ass off in here.
Maybe it is who I'm thinking of.
You just watch. I'm a magician in that kitchen. And then he'd sound like that and then do, like, some crazy, you know, leg thing. He was just amazing. Was his name
Dino?
That sounds... Yeah, I think that's right.
He won that season.
Did he really?
He did. I think so. We're thinking of the same guy. Yeah, he won.
Yeah, that's amazing.
He was pretty good. That was actually the first MasterChef season where I didn't hate any of the finalists. Like, I wasn't rooting for any of them particularly hard. But, he was, that was a good season.
Yeah, this is the guy. I just looked him up. That's the guy.
Dino? Okay.
Dino.
I don't think he's Asian.
Looks pretty...
Blix is just profiling people.
well, his name is Dino. I don't know, he looks Asian to me here.
That's... Dino is Italian, is an Italian
Dino
name.
Sounds way Italian. Super Italian.
Well, he doesn't look Italian.
Sounds like he sounds should be Italian. Making, he should be making his pizzas name's or some Italian. Shit. You come to Dino's, I'll make a fucking pie for you.
I was rooting for the really hard. I'm just gonna spoil the shit out of a part of MasterChef Junior for this year. So if you don't want to hear it, plug your fucking ears. But
I can't. I'm on the podcast. Bitch, go ahead.
You don't care. but it was this girl. There was this girl from Minnesota that made it on there this year. Named Ariana, and she was badass, like, in the kitchen. Like, they did this, they did one of the team challenges where they cook for a wedding party, right? Mm. And, she was the captain, because she had won, like, one of the previous challenge for the blue team. And you know how there's always, in those episodes, there's always that moment where, like, Gordon Ramsay has to go over and, like, yell at a team for, like, not being together and not, like, having their shit, and then they, like, yell... You know, on point, and then he has to chew out the captain to be a fucking leader or whatever.
Yeah.
So it starts setting up like that because they're doing all these little, I call them like the real world confessional interviews. I don't know what else to call them. Interspliced, like they're sitting in the kitchen, like at this point we didn't know what we were doing or what, like kind of that show sort of shit.
Yeah.
And they do a couple of those or whatever. And then it cuts to Gordon Ramsay and he's looking all pissed off, like staring at the blue team, like not having their shit together. And he's about to walk right over to and start do his Gordon Ramsay thing. And this 12-year-old, maybe 13-year-old girl, like, starts clapping her hands and screaming at everybody. It's like, everybody stop what you're doing. Come over here right now. Come over here right now. What are you supposed to be doing? What are you supposed to be doing? Then do it!
Oh, Jesus.
I just ran this motherfucking kitchen, right? And then, like, it kind of cuts back to Gordon Ramsay, and he just kind of has this look like, that was my job. Like, it was super good. Oh,
God. Now I definitely have
to. She made really good food the entire time and got eliminated probably, like, 5 episodes ago now or something. Because, like, she didn't make, God, what were they making? What eliminated her? I don't even remember. It was something stupid.
Lemon meringue pie.
Maybe. I don't know, like...
Of course.
Egg yolk ravioli or something like that. I don't remember. It was something that, like, I don't think she was the worst one. And it also makes me mad because there's always, like... These, like, wieners, like, on these shows, and not even just MasterChef Junior, but, like, on all of these, like, shows where there's, like, some, like, idiot who just, like, keeps failing upward.
Oh, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's, like, keeps getting through because, like, they're on a team with, like, really strong people and they get, like, the bye or whatever.
And, like, yeah, it's just... they'll just, they're so quick to throw somebody else under the bus.
Yeah, or, like, they're just bad at what they're, at what they do. Like, and then, but there's always, like, somebody's, like, yeah, so I took a chance and I made my own, you know, I tried to make my own whipped cream topping. And then, like, you know, like, Joe on MasterChef will be like, this tastes like taint. And he'll, like, throw it in the trash.
Joe,
and
then,
like, the only Joe's reason that, that person gets to go on, it's because somebody, like, completely, like, burned their food or, like, or no, or, like, served them, like, I made you guys chicken. I cooked it for 3 minutes.
And it's raw.
And it's raw as shit.
Yeah. There's always that, yeah. It's fucking
and people. so, like, there's, so, like, she lost, and there's this one kid who was still on there that kept going, and I'm mad, and I don't know, maybe they had, like, the redemption episode where somebody gets to come back and, like, you know, and win their way back on it, because there's always one of those, and maybe she did that, but I'm not fucking watching it. You hurt me, MasterChef Jr. You cut me deep.
Can you go on, Seth, or do we need to end the show now?
What's that?
Can you go on emotionally, or do we need to end now?
I think I need a moment. Let's take us out.
Well, thank you for listening to Monkeys in Tuxedos podcast. Let's thank Seth and Z. First off, thanks for a great episode, guys. Be sure to follow us on Facebook at podcast Monkeys in Tuxedos podcast, and make sure to like us, follow us, suggest topics on our pinned topic thread. Follow us on Twitter at podcast MIT and suggest topics there using the hashtag podcast MIT. Let's also thank our very kind and generous executive producer, John Gary Staten. Thanks, Gary. Am I forgetting anything? Facebook, Twitter.
These nuts.
And these nuts. Thank you.